Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they, which is the Lord Jesus and the four disciples that he's just called, John and James and Peter and Andrew, and they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came, and he took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. The whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he wouldn't permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that's what I came for." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. And God will surely bless what we've read from his word. I'm not going to go down through the passage verse by verse. I really want to think about the man with the unclean spirit and the man who was a leper, and the way in which they in particular interacted with the Lord Jesus, and especially the way he dealt with their situations. But we will talk about other parts as well. We read here about the Lord Jesus going into Capernaum. Capernaum is a place that we read about a lot in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And if we just kept on going into chapter 2, verse 1 says, when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And in Matthew's Gospel, there's a verse in chapter 9 that says that the Lord and the disciples sailed across to the other side of the lake to his own city. And there's a sense, therefore, that Jesus had a home on earth in Capernaum. That was the place where he lived most of his time, where he probably slept most nights while he was serving in these 3 years between what we read of his baptism and the cross. Of course, up to that, he had lived in Nazareth. Earlier on in chapter 1, it says in verse 9, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee." But Capernaum was a place that Jesus frequented a lot, and obviously people thought of it as being where his home was, or it was his own city. And this particular incident of which we read it first, the Lord Jesus goes into Capernaum with these four men that we heard about the other week from Boya, James, John, Peter and Andrew, the first of the disciples, the nucleus of what was to become the church. And what he did right away was to preach in the synagogue. That was what he had come for, he said later, when he told the disciples about what they should go and do. "I've come to preach." And the Lord Jesus, while he was preaching in this particular synagogue in Capernaum, we don't know what he said. It is interesting that Luke tells us of what he said when he was preaching in Nazareth, the city where he had been brought up. That incident appears to have happened later, of course. But he picked up from the master of the synagogue the book of Isaiah, the scroll, and he read in it. And it's interesting, you don't need to turn to it, but I'll just read what it was that the Lord Jesus read as he spoke in Nazareth. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." To proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This was the message that he had come to preach. And certainly as we think of the man with the unclean spirit, and we think of the man that was a leper, they were certainly captives in different ways, but they were certainly captives whilst they lived their lives. They weren't free to do whatever it was they chose to do. They were very much constrained. The man that was possessed with the unclean spirit, it says that when Jesus had finished preaching, there was in the synagogue immediately a man with an unclean spirit. In fact, as I understand it, the rendering really, as it was written in Greek, is to say, in an unclean spirit. He was so possessed, this unclean spirit completely controlled his life. Now, in this part of the world, at this time in history, we don't see what we would obviously understand as demon possession. But yet, as we heard just a few weeks ago when Jim McPhail was here, he had experienced it in this current time in history whilst he was visiting a village in Africa. And I'm not going to begin to try and explain anything about demon possession because it's beyond my understanding. But suffice to say that here was a man who was possessed by a demon, by an unclean spirit, by what we could describe as a fallen angel, one of those who had, with Satan, rebelled and disobeyed God and had been dropped and sent from heaven. And this man was controlled by this unclean spirit. Now, there are things that control people that are not good things. But to be controlled by an unclean spirit must be a terrible thing. How the man got into this situation, we don't know. But he was controlled by an unclean spirit. And when we read of what happened after the Lord Jesus had told the unclean spirit to leave the man, it says that when he did that, he convulsed the man. The man's voice box was used by this unclean spirit to speak. And out of the man's mouth came words that originated with this unclean spirit. Now don't ask me to understand and explain all that, as I say, because I don't understand it. But it's what the Bible tells us was the situation. It's easier, you see, when we think about the leper to understand about his skin disease and what that meant. This is perhaps difficult for us to understand because we don't witness it. But this man's life was absolutely miserable. Now there is that expression that people will use that says something is hell on earth. Now, it's a kind of silly thing to say, isn't it? Because nothing on earth is as bad as hell. But perhaps being possessed by an unclean spirit is the closest to the truth of that statement. Because here was a demon of hell living in this man, controlling this man, making him speak when he didn't want to, throwing him about on the ground. And just to be clear, this wasn't some first century misunderstanding of epilepsy or any such illness. This was what the Bible tells us it was. So this man comes into the synagogue not to hear Jesus teaching, because he wanted to learn, I would suspect. The demon came and drove the man in there. But what's interesting about this part is the way in which the demon speaks. The unclean spirit says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What are you doing here?" The problem for the spirit was he knew who Jesus was. Other people would talk about Jesus of Nazareth because that was where the Lord Jesus came from, where he was brought up. And he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. And people, I'm sure, would have talked about the Lord Jesus and said, "Let's go and hear Jesus of Nazareth speaking and see what kind of messages he's got, see if he's got any interesting stories to tell," thinking of his parables. "Let's go and see if Jesus of Nazareth is healing somebody." And that might have been said in a friendly type of way. But certainly when this man's voice was used to utter these words, it was not meant in a friendly way. "What have you got to do with me and my fellow spirits?" The "us" wouldn't be referring to the man and the spirit, because the spirit didn't care about the man that he possessed. But this spirit knew that Jesus of Nazareth meant trouble and problems for these spirits, these evil spirits. The question he asks is, "Have you come to destroy us?" And then this statement, "I know who you are, the Son of God, the Holy One of God." This unclean spirit was completely clear on who it was that was standing there before him. Now, you say to yourself, how did this unclean spirit know that? Don't think it's because Satan and spirits have great knowledge of everything. I suspect, although it's not explicitly said in Scripture, that up until the Lord's baptism, Satan didn't know that the baby that had been born in Bethlehem was the Son of God. Because Satan can't be everywhere all the time. And Satan caused Herod to murder all the children because he didn't know where the child was. But what had happened, we read about it and heard about it a week or two ago. After the Lord Jesus was baptized, the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and God's voice spoke from heaven and made this great announcement: "This, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And at that point, Satan and the spirit world woke up, as it were, and realized that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God. Other people heard it, and it had different effects in them. But the thing that I want to emphasize is that the spirits heard God speak and knew that it was true. And they believed, if I can use the phrase, with all their heart, not that they have hearts, but they believed utterly the truth of that. And so this unclean spirit says, "What are you coming to see us for? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." And later, after the Lord Jesus had healed many people, after he had healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, when he cast out demons, he forbade them. He wouldn't permit the demons to speak because they knew him. The Lord Jesus had power over these spirits, and he was able to tell them not to speak. So what does this tell us? That the demons knew and accepted that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. So when the devil tries to dissuade people from believing that Jesus is the Son of God, then it's because it's a lie. Not because he's misinformed. Now, I could imagine if we were privileged enough to be able to invite Ed Miliband and David Cameron to come up and sit beside one another here, they could argue about the NHS, for example, just catching Kevin in my sight there, all day, all week, all month, every day to the election. And whatever it is that they might propose for the NHS, then it would be because it's what they thought was right. I don't believe that these men are utterly lying in what they want to do. But what they believe is quite different. Well, when the devil tells people that Jesus isn't really the Son of God, there's no truth in this, he didn't really rise from the dead, it's not because he believes it, it's because he's a liar. Because his choice is to deceive people. And people can be deceived by him. We don't know much about the man that was possessed. As I said earlier, we don't know how he came to be possessed. And the Lord Jesus rebuked the spirit and said, "Be silent and come out of him." And the spirit, as we said, cared nothing about the man who he possessed. The man was just a tool. Now, tools are great things. Myra was slightly rebuking me the other day because I had chairs in the dining room turned up to remove little things that we'd nailed in to try and save the floor, and I was using a screwdriver to leverage it. And she said, "Tut, tut, tut, that's not what a screwdriver's for, that's what you'd be telling me." And we should look after tools. But not because they have any value other than their usefulness to us. This unclean spirit, the value that he had for this man was as a vehicle for him, the unclean spirit, to speak. And he had no interest at all in the good of the man. And when the Lord Jesus brought that to an end, and as it were destroyed the usefulness of his tool, then he threw the man down on the floor and made him convulse and did all sorts of things to him. You see, Satan, the devils, the unclean spirits, have no interest whatsoever in men and women, in their souls. They're only interested in undermining God and using men and women to rebel against God. And the great tragedy is that so many would listen to what they say and believe it and accept it to be truth rather than understand it to be a lie. The interesting thing, of course, is that because of this incident, the people who were around in the synagogue, the people who had heard whatever it was that Jesus had to say that day in Capernaum, that may have been similar to what he said in Nazareth sometime later, the people ended up being amazed. And they asked a question, "What is this?" Perhaps they hadn't heard or hadn't understood what the Spirit said through the man. But they said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Now, they were used to what we would call exorcisms being attempted by the rabbis. But the comparison that they made, and the comparison with the teaching of the rabbis, of the scribes, was that here was somebody who spoke with authority. His teaching was authoritative. And when he commands, even unclean spirits obey. Now, if the Lord Jesus had turned to somebody that was in the congregation and said, "Would you come up here for a minute? I want to do something with you." Apart from perhaps a sense of irreverence of getting up, the person doing it wouldn't have caused people to say, "Wow, what power he has." But when an unclean spirit obeyed, then these people recognized that here was somebody who had far greater power than the others that they were used to seeing. And they began to wonder, and they began to think for themselves, who is this man? Well, Jesus' fame spread throughout Galilee. Of course, Galilee included Nazareth. It was up in the hill country, and Capernaum was down by the lake beside the Sea of Galilee, but his fame spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. And he goes and speaks in various places, and people bring the sick to be healed. They bring those that are oppressed by unclean spirits to have the unclean spirits removed. And the Lord Jesus performs miracle after miracle, day after day, so that he might demonstrate to people that he's not just an ordinary man. That they might have the evidence that would allow them to conclude that here was the Son of God in their midst. Here was the Messiah that had been promised, the one who had been foretold in all of the scriptures that they would have heard read week after week on the Sabbath days of the synagogue, in the synagogues, as they would have gone and listened. But as we come down to verse 40, we read of the leper that comes. The leper had a physical illness. Now, leprosy, when it's used in the Bible, I think generally it's accepted that it was used to describe all sorts of illnesses of the skin, all sorts of skin infections. But the key thing was that this disease was a disease that caused people to be shunned, to be dealt with as being unclean. That was the word that was used, same as an unclean spirit. Imagine if the word that was used to describe you by the people that you knew around about was the same as they would have used for an evil spirit. Think how that man must have felt. But he had this illness, a contagious disease. And he would have to have wandered round about shouting, unclean, so that people moved away from him as he drew close. What a terrible way to live. A man who was a captive to his disease. A man whose life was oppressed because of this illness that he had. But what did he do? He came to Jesus. Now, whatever was going on in the man's mind, Mark doesn't tell us that. Whatever thoughts he might have had as he made his way, I'm sure he had them. But we dare not try and suggest what these might be, because we don't know. What we do know is what he did. The man came to Jesus, and he knelt before Jesus, and he implored Jesus. Absolutely begging to the uttermost. Now, a man can beg without imploring. Sometimes beggars sit with a box or something, a bunnet traditionally in Scotland, before them, hoping that money will drop in their little receptacle. They're begging, but they're not imploring. This leper came and he implored Jesus. He recognized that the condition that he was in was one that he couldn't do anything about himself. But he believed that somehow, in a way that he didn't understand, Jesus would be able to solve the problem that he had. The thing that he said to Jesus is interesting. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. When that man came, What he was imploring the Lord Jesus was that it would be in his will to make him clean. You know, he didn't come and say, I've kind of weighed this up. You healed this man that had a gammy leg, and you helped that man that's deaf, and that woman that was ill, Simon's mother, I heard she was dying, but somehow you brought her back to health and she lives. So the balance of probability is that you're a good doctor and you can probably even heal leprosy. Will you give it a try? That's not what the man was saying. The man came along to Jesus and he said, basically, you're able to make me clean. Will you do it for me, please? Would it please you to make me clean? What a difference in attitude from that of the unclean spirit. The unclean spirit said, have you come to destroy us? Away you go. Don't bother us. I know that you're the Holy One of God, but go away and leave us in peace. But as this man comes and he says, I'm convinced that you have the power to make me whole. Please, in your goodness and in your mercy, will you use that power in me? These two positions are poles apart. Completely different. And the Lord Jesus did will that something would be done about the man's illness. The verse says that he was moved with pity. Here was the Son of God, the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And he was moved with pity when he heard this man imploring him. And he stretched out his hand and touched him. Touched a leper. It's good to hear of that nurse who was diagnosed with Ebola being cured. But think of the extent that the medical staff went to so that they didn't touch her. Anything they had to do was through protective clothing. You know, to me, my PPE is a bit of a hard hat and toe-tector shoes for when I need it. These people used PPE that was extreme when you see them, wasn't it? Completely encased so that they didn't touch the woman, the nurse that had Ebola, for fear of catching it themselves. Well, the methods that were used in these days was people just went nowhere near the lepers. And Jesus touched the man. He came right up close. And moved with pity and in compassion, he didn't just speak to the man as he had commanded the unclean spirit. He cared for the man. And so he touched him. And said, yes, I will. Be clean. And his voice was sufficient to cure the man's illness. It was a miracle. It wasn't that somehow hidden in his hand while it was in the pocket of his coat, he had 21st century medicine components that people of the time didn't know about, and somehow he was able to rub the man's skin and rub some mysterious stuff onto the surface that cured the illness. No. The voice that spoke with the power of God, and the man was cleansed of his illness. Immediately the leprosy left him. Well, when the Lord Jesus spoke to the man that was possessed, well, he spoke to the demon really, but when the man was in front of him, immediately the demon left him because he'd been commanded. The leprosy, the illness left this man immediately, and he was made clean. Now, with the best will in the world, if you go to the doctors with some illness, you don't expect the doctor to sit the other side. Well, they don't sit the other side now, they sit side on to you because it makes makes you feel better. But they don't expect the doctor to turn around and say, yes, I think I'd like you to be cured of your headache and your migraine goes away. It's a bit more complicated than that, isn't it? But this was a miracle. God's voice spoke, and that man's body physically changed right away. And he was clean. And because of what the law required, the Lord Jesus sent him to see a priest. Well, what a contrast between these two men. What a difference between how the Lord Jesus was spoken to by the unclean spirit and how he was spoken to by the man who was the leper. And as we look at that contrast, it tells us an awful lot about the world at large and tells us a lot about ourselves. And the lesson I really want us all to draw from this and to think about is the unclean spirit knew who Jesus was. He believed wholeheartedly that Jesus was the Son of God. He believed that he was the Holy One of God. He knew the power that he had at his disposal. But he didn't care for that. The other man couldn't have put the words that way. He just knew that here was somebody who could do something for him, who would allow him to be healed. And while there's a bit of a mixture of both in salvation, what it is important to understand is just because you know and because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that's not enough for you to be one of his. Just because you turn up at the synagogue week by week is not enough to make you one of his. The unclean spirit, whilst not a human being, teaches us a lesson that the knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, the knowledge that he has the power to do things, this spirit would have the knowledge that God had spoken and the world's come into being. But that didn't make him one of his own. It didn't make him a follower of the Lord Jesus. And if in your heart you're saying, well, I know that Jesus is the Son of God, I know the power that he has, well, that's good. Because if you said, I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God, he isn't, well, then there's a fundamental challenge there in that. But just because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that of itself doesn't bring you salvation. The leper was cleansed because he believed that his state of its own was utterly hopeless. And he knew that he was one of those who could have been described as oppressed and captive. And he wandered round about from place to place, crying out, unclean, unable to do a thing for himself. He couldn't have worked. Anything he'd made, nobody would have wanted. He was reliant totally on other people. And when he came to Jesus, he acknowledged that he was reliant on the power of the Lord Jesus to heal him. And it's coming to the Lord Jesus, recognizing that he is God, for that's essential, but also recognizing that of ourselves we're nothing, and we're as hopeless to do anything about our soul state as this man was to do anything about his physical state and his illness. It's coming to that point that allows us to say, If you will, you can make me clean. The essence of that statement for us is recognising a need to be made clean of our sin, and recognising that it's wholly in the gift of God Himself for us to be made clean, and there's nothing whatsoever that the leper could do to justify himself before Jesus, and there's nothing that you or I could ever hope to do to justify before God why He should make us clean of our sin. It's all God's will. And when we come to God like that, then, moved with compassion, moved with pity, in God's mercy and in His grace, then figuratively stretches out His hand and says to you in your sin, I will. You're forgiven. And immediately the sin is forgiven and you're made clean. Just as the leper was immediately cured of his illness and made clean. Not ceremonially clean. Not sort of dressed up to look clean and still filthy, dirty inside, hidden by his coat, but made clean right to the core because the illness had gone. And the Lord Jesus has the power, because of who He is, the Son of God, to come right into your life. But it needs you to say, if you will, you can make me whole. Don't depend on the fact that intellectually you understand all this and you accepted a long time ago that Jesus, who lived in Galilee 2,000 years ago, was indeed the Son of God and somehow He came to this earth, and that that's good enough for salvation, because that's not what salvation's about. That's a prerequisite that you have that in your head. But salvation comes, and the cleansing from God comes when you throw yourself at God's feet and say, I'm absolutely worthless, and the only person that can do anything about it is you, God. Please, will it be your will to forgive me? And when you do, God says yes. And the man went away and he told other people. Matthew Henry says, as for the fact that the Lord commanded him and he chose to go and tell other people, I can't really comment on that because I don't understand enough about it. That's paraphrasing a wee bit, so I'm not going to go there. But what I would say is, he told other people about it. And for those of us who are Christians, then what could be more natural than to tell other people about this man who has the power that he's demonstrated in our lives to turn us from miserable wretches into those that he would call his own. But if you've never taken that step, don't go away from here deluded into thinking that it's enough to understand in your head and to know that Jesus is the Son of God. Because that demon and all these other demons knew who he was, and it didn't do them a scrap of good. So with that challenge, we'll close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this morning and we thank Thee again for Thy word. Father, we do bless Thee that in it we can read of things that happened that teach us lessons. Father, we do pray that none of us may be deceived into thinking that because we know that Jesus is the Son of God, that that's enough. Father, help us to understand that it is asking for Thy mercy and Thy forgiveness and for Thy cleansing for the miserable wretches that we are in sin that allows Thee to exercise Thy will and to forgive us. Father, we do pray that Thy Holy Spirit may speak to each and every one of us, to those who do not know Thee, to bring about salvation. For those of us who have confessed the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Master and know the state that we are of ourselves, we do pray that as the leper, would give us a lesson that we too may go and tell others about him, the one who has the power over all things, for whom we give thee our thanks, in his worthy and precious name. Amen.